when they filmed Chernobyl and they came to Vilnius, they inspected the area and actually they found out that it wasn't nice enough. So they had to bring in flowers to make it look nicer.
You mean like there's a little bit of dilapidation?
Yeah. They were like, oh, this is not up to the Chernobyl standards, you know? So we need to improve. How do we improve this area? And they had to bring in flowers to make it look nicer. And this doesn't help the Lithuanian stereotype at all. But this was in the news. The day after, they brought the flowers. They found out that the flowers are missing because the locals stole them.
Hello, welcome to Comedy with an Accent podcast. I'm your Taiwanese comedian, Quan Wen. I interview comedians who perform English stand-up comedy but who are not native English speakers or they can have a very distinct British regional accent. This podcast is all about comedy, about accent, about languages, and about the comedy technique. So stay tuned if you're interested. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Comedy with an Accent podcast. Just to make sure no more information is leaked to our technician, Julian, please guess where my guest today is from. You had about 10 to 15 minutes listening to us talking. We make sure no information on his name or nationality is talked about.
Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
You said Sweden.
Sweden is where he lives. Did say because of his height, you thought he might be Scandinavian. I can reveal to you, he's an immigrant in Sweden. He lives in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Yeah.
Scandinavian.
No, but you had pretty good guess. I like your deduction, like your your reasoning, because you were like, oh, this guy stole, he must be Norwegian.
I think some people in his country like to think they are Scandinavian, but they are so not.
Is it Scandinavia?
No, it's not. No. It's not. By official definition, it shouldn't be.
But you heard me speak for a little bit. Do you pick up on some accent?
A little bit.
Okay.
Is that a compliment to you?
No, I'm just wondering. I was like, how American can I sound?
That's the not best really. We can tell you watch American TV, but you're not. You give up. Today, our guest is Donatas Kveslis from Lithuania. Do you like to think you guys are Scandinavian? I know Estonians like to do that.
Estonians like to do that?
But that's a claim. They're also... Yeah, some of them. Because in the past, Estonia were colonized or territory of Sweden before like hundreds of years ago.
Yeah, Sweden dabbled into Lithuania a bit too, if I remember correctly from my history classes. But Estonians, their language group is like similar to the Finnish people.
Yes.
So maybe that's their claim to the throne of Scandinavia.
I think you couldn't really tell because he's from sort of East Europe, but it's not a Slavic language. So it doesn't have the typical Russian, Polish, the Slavic sound. And that's why it's a bit more confusing. But if you are a basketball fan and with his height, some people might have guessed Lithuania. I think you guys produce some really decent basketball players for NBA. Is that right?
We do have some players in NBA right now. Yeah.
I feel like this section is kind of slowly dying. We're not really making any money.
As soon as we start talking about sports, like, cut.
Yeah, for a gay host to talk about sports. No. So our guest is from Lithuania. How do I pronounce your name properly?
Donatas.
Donatas. Kveselis.
Kveselis. That's actually one of the better last name pronunciations I've heard.
Donatas Kveselis.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, yay. I'm so proud of myself. It's a difficult language. How do you say, labas ritas? Is that how you say good morning?
I mean, these notes.
Okay, let's not freak
him out. He did so much research today.
Freak him out.
He watched all four of my podcasts I've ever done.
Can I just say, okay, there's not a lot of shows, but he was on one specific Swedish podcast four times altogether.
Shout out to Gustav.
Gustav Danielsson. Before I ask you my standard question, I want to give the audience a bit of context. Donatas is our second guest from Lithuania. I asked him to be on for a specific reason. He performs stand-up comedy in English to Swedish people and international people in Sweden, mostly. Yeah. Until this year, you do a lot more traveling in continental Europe and in London and in Edinburgh.
Exactly that. Yes. I think the first time I met you was in Barcelona.
The first time you met me was in Camden.
You were in Barcelona this year, were you not?
I was in Barcelona in May, yes.
I was there too.
Yeah, but didn't we do about those immigrant comedy shows?
And then we did that.
Okay, the sequence is not relevant to the audience, so I haven't seen much of your live performance. Every time we're on the same show, either you left early or I arrived late or I leave early. And I just came back from Sweden last weekend. I was at a comedy festival called the Lund Festival. I messaged Donatas and I say, I can see you perform there. Turns out he performed the night before I flew out. So I'm not seeing you perform live. I feel back at normally. I like to see my guests, how they are on stage, so I can have a bit more to ask about. So okay. Today, that bit will remain in the dark. But my standard question to you, do you think when you speak English, you have an accent?
I mean, obviously.
Yeah, but how would you... You would say, yes, obviously. Yeah. And how would you describe your accent?
I think I'm past that point in my life where I can learn an accent, which a little bit f***ed with me because I can't do, like, voices. Like, it limits my stand-up. Mm. But I think I have a little bit of, like, Eastern European accent.
That's what you say. You say that you only have one voice, East European accent.
Man, you consume, like, 7 hours
of content. Okay, you can't start commenting on that. Yes, I've done that, and it's a given. All I want to do is make sure, in the time we have today, you share more stuff you haven't mentioned before. So things you have talked about,
I will
just call them directly.
Yeah.
But as the game with Julian just proved that, he doesn't deduced it was an East European accent that easily, right?
No. I think maybe I hide it pretty well. My mother is an English teacher, so I learned the grammar from her. But then, you know, it's all like TV learned. Mm. I think other people I met in my life, like, they absorb the language much better than me. Like Evelyn Mok, like,
yes,
the comedian friend of ours. She really picked up her English from just watching TV.
Yeah, I watch her video on YouTube. People were discussing whether she's from New York, California, below. These American ladies just assume Evelyn is American.
That's the thing. You might get roles. If you're, like, good with an accent, you might even, like, act, you know?
Yes.
I think there's a very specific thing I could be, both because of my language and because of my looks.
We can't be Trevor Noah.
I could, like...
Any accent we do would just be our accent. It's not going to...
I could be, like, a skinny mountain in Game of Thrones.
The accent is difficult for some people to pick up where your accent is from. They can only notice you have an accent.
Mm-hmm.
What about in Sweden? Have you ever tried doing a show without ever saying where you're from and people... Or in Gothenburg, your name is quite out there. Everyone knows you're that Lithuanian guy.
Yeah, well, when you perform comedy in another country, that's what you have. Because you go up on stage and you're like the only guy performing in English in Sweden.
Yeah.
You go up and you almost need to address that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is going to be in English. If the host doesn't do that, you have to do it. Like,
what does that mean? Does that mean that the comedy show you go to is bilingual? Or
most of my shows I've done in Sweden are Swedish. I just perform in English.
Oh, I thought you went to, like, a dedicated English comedy show.
No, there's not that many dedicated English comedy shows.
That's going to be weird for the audience because suddenly they have to switch their gear to English listening mode, right?
I mean, you'd be surprised, but Swedish people are so good at English.
Yes and no. I think there's still a difference. And you remark on this too. I was in Sweden this weekend. I noticed the Swedish people, they have a little bit of lag, as if their brains are doing the last minute translation. I think their English is good, but I feel like they want to make sure they properly understand you and then to provide their feedback.
Exactly.
So their laughter is not quite as instant. And I do think there is a difference.
There's a big difference between performing for different cultures. I think it's not exactly the fact that they're like, oh, I'm translating in my head, you know, what the comedian is saying from English to Swedish. It's more like the mentality of the people that I think Swedish people, they just like to analyze, you know, comedy.
And, is this supposed to be funny? Why is it funny? Am I supposed to be laughing at this?
I think one of the like the strangest compliments I got in Sweden about like stand-up, some guy walked up to me and he was like, you know why I like you? Because your jokes are not haha funny. But you need to think, you know? So he's like, often I'm on the bus and I'm like, ha ha ha. He like laughs later. It's like a backhanded compliment. Okay, thanks.
So does he look down on ha ha funny jokes?
Maybe. Maybe my comedy is just his type. He's just like, I come to comedy shows to think.
So the original question was whether you could perform stand-up comedy in Sweden without addressing your accent. But you're saying that when you started, that's pretty much you have right now, right?
Yeah.
But you've been in this game for quite a few years. and you have a repertoire, you have different kind of jokes. So at some stage, I think you can afford to do a show without necessarily addressing your immigrant identity or your accent, but do you always talk about it a little bit?
I would say 90% of the time, yes. Because mm-hmm. you just have so much material that kind of is set up. Like, I'm an outsider performing here, and that's why this is funny.
Yeah.
But I'd like to probably try that, where I just go up and just like, yeah, so this is what's happening.
I'm not going to tell you. But let's talk about what Swedish people see you if you say you are from Lithuania. So one of the early podcasts you did in 2021, it was a very hard listen. Maybe the host, two hosts, were very close to you. Some of the things they say, I was just like, guys, this is not on. It was the Eric and the podcast.
Okay, I remember this one.
And one of the hosts just asked you, so Donatas, Lithuania, drugs and prostitution. That's all I can... How did you not? How could you put up with that shit?
I think they were like...
And okay. Also in the middle, they were like, oh, is it like clean street or something that Lithuania can provide? I said, come on, you guys. Look at Malmö, Sweden. Isn't that great? Just look at yourself.
This was maybe when Malmö was great.
No,
like...
no.
I do remember this. I'm still getting so surprised how much podcasts you actually dug up.
There aren't that many episodes, really, trust me.
I mean, wow. But still, I was there. I remember they Googled Lithuania when I was there. And they pulled up like, look, you have a mountain of crosses.
Yes.
Explain. I'm like, oh. I just had to like, if I don't know something about Lithuania, I'll just make some shit up and I'm like, this is why.
Okay, so I'm just deducing, is it from these two that just say Lithuania, land of drug and prostitution, do they have a more nuanced view or they just say, oh, it's our generic backward neighbor country? Do you know what I mean? Like when people have very simplistic view of another country, do they project that onto you?
Oh, for sure. Because everything, when you go to like a first world country and you tell them that like Lithuania, more like Eastern Europe, the stereotype is there. Mm. You know, it's a post-Soviet state. Okay, so you guys are probably poor and you speak Russian and you drink alcohol. It's the three main stereotypes you always get.
Yeah.
And then when you hear that, you're like, oh, maybe I should make my comedy in a way that like it addresses it, you know? Because that's like an easy laugh. You can just talk about stereotypes.
But what exactly happened?
Why exactly?
So you're saying that maybe I should, but what do you tend to do? What's your final decision with all this back and forth of thoughts? Facing their generic, simplistic stereotype on your country, there's something you can rely on easily, but there's a way to provide more nuanced views to challenge their view. So what do you tend to do?
I like how deep this is getting.
It's not
but, I think in the beginning of stand-up, you're like, okay, I'm just going for a simple laugh. So you're just like, get into it, you know? You talk about stereotypes. But then you try to maybe break it down. Like, yeah, everyone assumes I'm this, I'm not. There's some nuance.
So, for example, when you joke about, I am from Chernobyl, this is...
Yeah, it's literally just because when I started stand-up, the host would introduce me as some Chernobyl survivor from Pripyat.
Do they say that?
Yeah, because... I mean, that was my nickname because at the time...
Is it because of your exceptional height and then make that joke? Or is it because you have the generic East European accent? But you're Lithuanian. Now, how does Chernobyl... Like, how? I don't see the link.
Well, that's the thing. At the time when I was doing stand-up, there was this like popular show on HBO, the Chernobyl series.
Oh, yes, I watched that.
Everyone watched it. And I had some bits about it. And a lot of people don't know this, but those series are actually filmed in Lithuania.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I was surprised because like I learned about this later.
Mm.
And I had these jokes in my head where like, it's so crazy that they had to go to Lithuania to find something that resembles Chernobyl 30 years ago. And I just kept looking into this and I found out that it was actually filmed in the capital. So the capital.
Vilnius.
Yeah, they filmed it in Vilnius.
How did they manage to be in a mayonnaise? Oh my god.
I was just surprised because they must have like come there and they just like looked at it and was like, oh, this is perfect, guys.
Okay, and based on that, there's a little bit of a defensible argument to link you to Chernobyl because that popular HBO series was filmed in your country.
I mean, yeah, and then they had...
So they didn't go to Lithuania because of a tax incentive. You can pay less tax doing a movie there. It's literally trying to find a lookalike of Ukrainian Chernobyl side.
I think they had money and they were like, we need to find something that resembles.
And Ukraine probably didn't want to...
I guess filming in Chernobyl would be tough, but they needed something that looked like before the accident. I hope they didn't film it after the accident. That would be even worse news if they were
the
like...
The funny thing is, though, I remember reading an article about the Chernobyl site because, you know, they zoned out this area. You can't go in. And because of absolute lack of human activities, the wildlife started to thrive around the Chernobyl site. I don't know what those animals look like, whether it's some twisted face, but the ultimate cancer to the environment are human beings.
Yeah, I mean, the place is thriving. Of course, there are some downsides. Maybe the bugs have three heads.
Maybe the butterfly only have one wing, but we don't know.
I mean, there's definitely some mutations. But what I found about Chernobyl later is that you can visit. It's not like you can't go there. People go on organized tours. I mean, not these days, like...
I know there's a risk. It's probably still a better idea than diving to the sea to try to see Titanic in a remote control somewhere.
This might be safer. This might be safer.
Or Sicilian, yeah. Is it too close to make this joke? But okay, let's talk about your intention of the Chernobyl joke, for example. Mm-hmm. People may perceive any way they want, but in your heart, when you did that joke, were you like, let me just get a laugh, or let me try to subvert your stereotype and take the power back to me? What was your intention?
Well, to be fair, I think the joke more like confirms the stereotype.
That's the honesty I was looking for.
In no defense for Lithuanians, but we actually took it as a good thing. We were like proud that, oh, look, we are part of this big production. People are filming Chernobyl in our country, okay. You know? This is like when they filmed like Game of Thrones in Croatia and it made it like touristic there.
Oh, yes, King's Landing, because they did...
Dubrovnik.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there in the summer. There's many people. It didn't happen in Vilnius. I don't think we increased our tourism because they filmed Chernobyl.
No, I didn't even know about the fact until you mentioned it today.
No, I think I'm the only one spreading this.
So the MC will introduce you from Chernobyl because you talk about the Chernobyl, or because they know the fact that it was filmed in Chernobyl, so they introduce you? Because it's still very unprofessional, though. Like, you don't...
What came first, the chicken or the egg? I think I had the joke, and then maybe it became really my, like, identity in the community. But... I need to finish the story because this is like, I'm not making this up. My sister informed me about this. When they filmed Chernobyl and they came to Vilnius, they inspected the area and actually they found out that it wasn't nice enough. So they had to bring in flowers to make it look nicer.
You mean like there's a little bit of dilapidation?
Yeah. They were like, oh, this is not up to the Chernobyl standards, you know? So we need to improve... How do we improve this area? And they had to bring in flowers to make it look nicer. And this doesn't help the Lithuanian stereotype at all. But this was in the news. The day after, they brought the flowers. They found out that the flowers are missing because the locals stole them.
Wait, so you're saying the pre-Chernobyl 1990 Ukrainian site was nicer than the 2016-17-18 Vilnius capital of the
world? That's my interpretation of what was happening in the news at the time. Now, I haven't done the actual research. I learned this from my sister and they ran with it to the comedy club. And I was like, this is what it is, guys. You were right. Like, Lithuania sucks.
No, as far as comedy jokes go, a family member's anecdote is a good place to start. Okay, other than that, any other stereotype? What's the audience expected of you before you introduce yourself and say anything? Because I do notice, and you did mention that over time, you want to talk more about you, your story, you as a person, less about being the spokesperson or representative of just another East European guy.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you achieve that?
I think I manage that pretty well now. I mean, you address the background up top. Mm. You have some jokes, it's fine. But then you move on and then you discuss who you are as a person. And then just like any other comedian, you're free to talk about dating or you're free to talk about how you feel like as an adult. you just address that in the beginning, but then very quickly you can move on. I think that kind of works. Because the human experience is still the relatable, you know? Mm. So you can definitely do that type of material.
I do have to point out, though, a lot of people address diversity when it comes to visuals. And that's why sometimes when I try to say to people, this podcast really want to analyze accents, because I want to talk about the prejudice or the opinion you form of a comedian when you hear how they talk rather than how they look. Someone can be of a non-white minority background, but they can probably have a very standard official accent. So in that regard, the othering is not exactly the same. In your case, your accent gives a clue you're not from Sweden, but you also mentioned that you are so tall and white. Sometimes Swedish people just keep talking to you in Swedish because visually, they can't really make that much difference between you and a Swedish person.
That's exactly it, because I think their brain cannot connect the dots because they see me and I'm like, okay, this is a tall, white person.
Yeah.
He sounds different, but maybe I'm hearing things wrong. And then they just keep speaking like Swedish to me. I had those situations where they get confused. They're like, wait, what? You don't speak Swedish? I thought I just heard you.
So I don't know if I should ask this question because probably it would be better to have input from other comedians. But imagine there is a Swedish comedian who is of ethnic minority background, let's say Middle Eastern or Black or East Asian. And then you have an accent, but you look very white, Caucasian, almost passable as Swedish to Swedish people. Mm-hmm. So compare these two scenarios. So your difference being the way you talk, your accent, their difference to a lot of Swedish people being their skin color and their ethnicity, how does it play? Would you feel like people initially will react to your accent, but visually it's not as challenging for them? Does that make sense to you? Where my question is. I didn't phrase it really well.
Yeah, well,
because I don't want to step on a landmine, but
I'll step on the landmine.
Yes, that's the way. Yes.
White privilege is real and it's awesome because I think I'm obviously an immigrant who has lived in Sweden for, I think, close to like 8 years.
Yeah.
I fully refuse to learn their language. I tried for a little bit. I can get
away
with it.
How did you even get a Swedish ID without speaking their language? Surely you have to fill out the form or something?
Oh, ID is easy. You get an ID, like you just go there, I don't even remember. I think I had...
Because you're a European Union citizen. Maybe that's...
Oh, yeah, EU, yeah. So once
we can't access right now. So that's why I find it... live in Brexit UK. I'm sorry.
I wish it was that easy in England for me. No. They are really... I mean, I came here. They stopped me at the border. They were like, okay, how much
don't
money?
Don't complain, all right? When I go into an EU country, you make us queue in a separate queue and we can't use the electronic gate. But EU citizen coming to the UK can use the electronic gate as UK citizen. That's not fair. Okay, let's stop the rant. Okay. Yeah, so you're saying white privilege is real in that...
Yeah, I have Swedish friends who are like conveniently complain about immigrants around me. And then I have to be like, yeah, but I'm an immigrant too. It's like, yeah, you're right, Johan, you know?
Oh, yeah. So it's like in the UK, they don't really complain about the Italian or the German or French immigrants. When they complain about an immigrant, it's always from a certain areas in the world.
Yeah.
Well, people who are not white in general.
I had like a funny situation in Sweden because I am allowed to vote in a regional elections. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how it works. So I just walked there and I was stopped by a person with some like pamphlets outside. And she started talking to me in Swedish. And I'm like, slow down. Like, I don't know. What are you saying? And then she gave me like, oh, okay, where are you from? I'm like, Lithuania. Okay, just take this, fill this in, put it in. I'm like, what is this? So she gave me like a pamphlet from like a right-wing party. And
the one that said that immigrants should be kept
pretty
out.
Pretty much. And then I was about to like put it in. I realized that like, oh, I could fill in these other ones. And I was like, wait, she almost tricked me into like voting against immigrants. She had a point, probably.
So you are literally in the Turkish voting for Christmas scenario.
What's that?
Turkish voting for Christmas.
Turkish voting for Christmas.
Yeah, because in the UK for Christmas, they would serve turkey as the meal. So Turkey voting for something that would get them killed.
Yeah, okay. Now I understand you. Yeah, okay, I was literally Turkey thinking about...
talking about the country, Turkey. Yeah. No. We talk about this generic East European thing. I guess for some people who are not very sensitive to languages, they may not be able to tell. So maybe people have the sense that you're definitely not Mediterranean, right? You are very fair skinned, you're very tall, your cadence, all the accent fluctuation, this is not Mediterranean. I wonder maybe for some people, they can't even tell whether your accent is more Germanic or more Slavic, but you are neither. Your Lithuanian is Baltic. It's a very isolated language group. I think only Latvian is in your family, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that you know so much, like about.
Yeah, but they may not go into the edit because sometimes they are too serious for the listeners. So I can never quite understand how much my listener is here for the comedy or the language bit or just like random geography or politics. So.
If you guys want to do like a scientific dissection of the languages, you mentioned very important key things. Lithuanian language often gets mixed up with like Slavic languages.
But it is not,
and everyone's like, "Do you guys sound Russian?" You know, it's not true. Then I always give them like a sample of what they sound like. Mm-hmm. And they get like a little bit surprised and confused. But yeah, you're right. It's a very unique language. Like another language that's similar is Latvian. It's a Baltic language group in the Indo-European language tree. Man, I've been to school.
There's always such a loose people. Do you understand Latvian, the mutual understanding, without learning each other's language?
No, it's not that similar, but their words make me giggle.
So let me explain. Donatas went to Sweden as a student before. You went to Sweden to study engineering, is that right?
Yeah, I studied engineering.
But at the same time, your old dream of wanting to try out comedy revived while you were living in Sweden. And that's why you started performing in Sweden. It's not because Sweden is the holy land of stand-up comedy on the continental Europe. So
it's not.
It's by accident you were there. You have this weird relationship with Sweden. And you do also mention that the Swedish crowd... Okay, I'm quoting you. You say Swedish people are weird. You have to make an effort, then they will open up.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you feel like maybe it's not worth it. Do you feel there was a need for you to learn Swedish?
No. I am very comfortable. I know it sounds that I'm talking a lot of shit about Sweden. It's an amazing country.
It is.
And yeah, there's many things you can enjoy. There's a lot of independence people kind of keep to themselves. Mm. You know, you don't infringe on other people's spaces. When it comes to friendships, relationships, yes, it might be a little bit like more difficult because they're like not too open mm-hmm. to like people they don't know from childhood.
A bit of they hold back.
They do hold back.
Yeah, unless they're absolutely sure at a deep level, they will then open up compared to a more superficial or easily struck friendship, but you never go deep like the Americans. Hi, I absolutely love you. We should meet again. Definitely call me. And then
it's so weird when you get out of Sweden and you go to another countries that are more extroverted. You're almost like, what do you want?
Yeah.
This is so strange that you're talking to me, you know? But in Sweden, if you're relentless and you really want to make that friend, I mean, you can get to them because once you pass that like point where they resist, exactly, because then you can just, it's soft, you can eat it, you know.
Is it worth it though with so much effort?
That's the thing. A relationship is only a boat that can be that big. You fill it up with some immigrant friends and then you're good. But I have some Swedish friends that live in the same town as me and they see them once every 5 months and it's okay.
Do they have to make an appointment?
Exactly. I have a meeting this weekend with my friend, Anton, that I haven't seen in 5 months, and it's fine. We have a long distance relationship in the city that we both live in. So I'm just catching up with Swedish friends.
Okay, in London, because London is really, really big. Sometimes to travel to where your friends live, it takes more than an hour. So I do understand seeing your friend every 6 or 8 months. It happens to me, to my friends here. But Gothenburg is not that huge, though. How is it that... You both have very busy lives or just...
No, just it doesn't feel like there's a need to get... Like, you meet once every few months with like...
If you meet every month, it feel like trying too hard.
But you don't understand. It's not like a shallow relationship, you know? You have this friendship with a Swedish person. You just catch up with them, but you catch up with them hard. You meet, you drink, and you talk everything.
Oh.
You really get personal. And then, okay, good to see you. Hug. See you in 5 months. It's like a therapy session, but you only do it like twice a year and nobody has to pay for it. So, also, it's weird if like, okay, I paid for the drinks 5 months ago. Now it's your turn. There's like a few places in Sweden you could be. You could be in Gothenburg.
Mm-hmm.
You can be in Stockholm. And I think you can be in Malmö.
Okay, so let's say in Gothenburg, you're facing a predominantly Swedish crowd most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now you face them. You're faced with a choice. Do you want to be the L pitcher? Or you want to be someone who insists on what you do? Because I think that's true everywhere. Every country, they like to be the subject of the joke.
Exactly, yeah.
But not too mean, but they like to know what foreigners think what they are. And there is a very effective way to make the audience laugh as a foreign comedian by telling the host country's crowd what they are like in your eyes.
Yes.
So, for example, before I researched into you, I didn't know the snooze thing existed. If any audience doesn't know what it is, it's something that Sweden negotiated for an opt-out before they joined the European Union. It's a tobacco product that you put in your upper lip. So without smoking, you can enjoy the tobacco.
Yeah, the fresh hit of nicotine.
Nicotine, yeah,
in your bloodstream.
So you are not really killing other people, but just kill yourself, which is quite noble. It's actually quite addictive, and it's something consumed by a good percentage of Swedish population. So if you make a joke about this, it won't work elsewhere. But if your target audience mainly are Swedish people, then your time and effort invested in a joke about snus will be worthwhile.
Exactly.
What's your relationship with the local Swedish crowd?
I have a snus joke.
One.
Just one. Just mention it. My experience with the whole thing. I know people who abuse it and you can't even tell because like it's under your lip. I know somebody who like sleeps with it, falls asleep with it. Just like goes to sleep, first thing, wake up, another one.
Do you think that sometimes if they want to calm their baby down, they would slay when the baby slips?
Maybe put on the forehead.
You have one joke, but what's your portfolio? Like when you develop your stuff, are you conscious that, oh, but this joke probably is too Swedish focused? Am I trying to overly please just Swedish people? Or I want to make sure I make jokes I can take to more countries? What's your thought process?
I am aware of all those things. When I'm in Sweden, I definitely have a tendency to talk about them because this is my target demographic, the room I'm performing in. But that is exactly the reason I left, you know. That's why I'm traveling like this year and hopefully next to talk more about other things. I see a lot of comedians, they have like jokes about different nationalities. I feel like I don't really have that. I don't know if I should, but I think
You want to though.
I feel like I should experience the world more to just have more perspectives, have more things to talk about. Because my act is like a bunch of really good jokes for the Swedes and then just a bunch of jokes just personal about myself. And a couple jokes now I have just from my travels about like different places I've been to and how the people are. So I definitely want to have more of like, I want to move away from like the Swedish crowd.
Can you elaborate on that? You say that that's exactly the reason why you left Sweden to travel to other places. What triggered you or inspired you to leave that comfort zone, so to speak?
I just don't want to be so one-dimensional.
Trapped in Sweden forever.
I mean, yes, and I've been there for a while. At this point, you either learn the language or leave. It would be easy to stay there, I would say, because it's like a good work-life balance.
Yeah.
And I can't say I will not come back, but I've just been traveling this year and I really like other places.
Yeah. But let's say you went to Barcelona and then you came to Edinburgh for the Edinburgh Fringe again.
Yes.
And you've been here quite a few times in London.
Yeah.
I heard you say good thing about when the crowd is more international, your jokes hit harder and you like the variety. But is there anything that made you think that actually the home crowd, the Swedish crowd, is rather good compared to certain aspects to these international audiences in these cities?
If you do like a Swedish show in like a small town where people have nothing better to do other than to go see your show, and it's a room packed of like 200 people, and the town is so small, it seems like everybody has left their house, and it feels like so safe, nobody locks the door there probably, and just they're so excited to be there. And I just go in hard. Everyone knows English and I just give them what they want. Just local stuff.
Is it that level of appreciation that they are so attentive to
you? Oh, it's like the highest killing.
They shower you with. But you know you can get that here as well, though. You just have to go to the small villages outside London.
I heard that. When I started, like, you're always influenced by other comedians. Or you're like, you try to, you have their voice in your head and you hit the stage thinking that you can do it. But I suck at imitating so much. It still comes out clunky, you know?
Yeah, so I guess if I were to summarize all those lengthy words I say, if you're not just another Lithuanian or East European guy, who are you then? Mm-hmm. When you go on stage and perform to the audience, and you also don't want to just perform to a Swedish audience, you want to be able to perform to different people, much bigger crowd, and you're not just that East European guy. You may say one or two jokes about it, but then after that, what do you want to say? What do you want to share?
Really good question.
Because your jokes seem to come from your life story, and you have little clues when listening to the podcast. You're someone who maybe a bit lazy, who don't overly believe in religion. So there's a very vague modern man there, and all I can extract from is more on the mischief side. So I don't know whether you purposely trying to focus and build a certain brand for you. Like, this is your voice, and this is the kind of comedy you like. This is the kind of comedy you do.
Yeah, I don't have, like, a target of, like, okay, this is what I think I am, and I'm trying to write for that character or that voice. I don't work like this. I'm more like, I f*** around and find out. So it's like, oh, this is a funny thought I think I have. Let me try it out and see how I feel. And I think you just, like, do a bunch of, like, gigs, and kind of become something, but you don't really define it.
I agree. Maybe I wasn't phrasing it right, but through those funny thoughts you've gathered over the years, if you look at your material right now, what can you deduce from it?
I definitely tend to be a bit dark, and I don't know if you need to explain it to the audiences, but I love dark humor. Maybe it's because, like, I'm from Lithuania.
Winter's too cold.
Statistically, you know, if you just look at statistics.
Do you know Evaldas Karosas?
Yeah.
He told me that Lithuania has the highest suicidal rate in the world.
That's what I wanted. I used to do jokes about, like, suicides in Lithuania. To me, it's like a funny, I think maybe that's what my voice is more like. So you say this, like, really, like, terrible thing that no one should be proud of. And I'm like, no. This is like Chernobyl. This is what we are, and we're proud, because at least we're good at something, right?
But when people look at you, they probably don't assume you to be that dark, thought-leaning. But that's the actual true side of you.
Oh, yeah. Every time I take a nap, I wake up suicidal. I'm like...
This will be the trailer of this episode.
You don't have this?
No.
Okay, maybe it's just me. I don't know. I don't think I'm depressed. I just do a bunch of push-ups and then, like, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But every time, if I have, like, a gig, I take a quick nap, like 20 minutes, I wake up like, oh, f***.
But do you not think that the nap was so great? I wish I had stayed in a nap a bit longer. I mean, no, I don't wake up feeling suicidal.
I have anxiety. I wake up and, like, my pulse is up because I'm, like, thinking about all the things I have to do. Like, oh, do I have a set for tonight?
But that doesn't show from looking at you, talking to you, because you have such a level of politeness about you. And maybe comedy is cathartic because you use comedy to channel out those dark thoughts. Because otherwise they are trapped inside.
Yeah.
It's worse for you.
I mean, stand-up is just so free because you can just be yourself up there, and you get to be yourself in front of other people. And I think that one of the reasons why I got into stand-up is, like, I just want to understand who I am, you know? So it's like a lifelong journey.
Did you realize that halfway through, or you were very clear about that when you started doing it? Because I know from the moment you got interested in stand-up to the point you actually start doing it, it took longer than a year. So when you say that I got into stand-up because I want to know who I am, was that a conscious thing when you started doing it, your very first gig?
I was inspired to do stand-up, like, a long time ago when I was finishing high school, because I've seen it and it made me laugh. But then I hit a point in life where I'm like, okay, I'm following the safety path that my parents wanted for me. Like, oh, be an engineer, have a job, you know, be a person. But it seemed like such a defined path, and it seemed so safe and boring that I wanted to explore. And
shake
I was
it
like, it just
bit.
Makes sense to do stand-up because I think I'm something else and I want to find out.
Third life crisis.
Yeah, but early.
Early. So, quarter life crisis.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends on how long you live.
Not be the right sequence, but I do want to ask, and maybe the answers were quite clear. Stand-up comedy became a phenomenon quite recently and late in Sweden as well as in your native Lithuania. And you did mention that after you left Lithuania, you now dream in broken English.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you are a different person when you speak English. And when you go back to Lithuania, you just go back to the old self.
Exactly.
It's not something you want to do. Despite that, would you consider pursuing a professional career in Lithuania, or you're just aiming for a higher, bigger market? Or
I had this thought to go back to Lithuania and, like, try to do stand-up in Lithuanian, which I have never done, because I am a different person once I'm there, and I hope it would improve my voice overall. It would translate to English as well, you know? So that's my curiosity.
You would call that a curiosity, but not a plan. Is it thought?
Maybe in spring. It's not like a set plan.
So for now, you're still more of a Swedish comedian trying to explore overseas.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm traveling a lot. I don't think I want to like define myself and be in Lithuania, but I'm willing to explore that as well. Because once you're like outside of your country for so long, it's very hard to go back because you lose that identity. Like it's...
I don't know. Yes and no. For me, it's an eternal question as well. I left my country about 20 years ago, but then I still go back, visit often. It's just that every time I go back, it gets even more different from the last time I
visited. But do you want to stay? Do you ever go there?
So about in 2015, I went back to live for 3 months. And the first month was painful. Like there's so many things change, even how you approach a civil servant, small things like that, how you pay mobile phone fee, all the little things can change. But I was reminded that the greatest ability of human being is ability to adapt. So after the first month, I got used to living back in Taiwan again. And then after 3 months, coming back to live in the UK, that was difficult. Mm-hmm. So the conclusion I draw is, however difficult initially it might seem, you can always adapt to it, even though it's not the same country from which you left. Yeah.
That's a good thing to know about yourself. You can just go to any place and you know that over time.
But you start to develop this sense that you don't belong to any place. You know,
right.
Like wherever you go, there's always something missing. And that's a little bit sad.
I mean, you can spin it. You could be like, I'm the citizen of the world, you know?
That just sounds so vague. Okay. I have no more questions. So I just want to know how people can find you on social media.
Okay. It's very simple. You just type in my complicated name. It is Donatas Kveselis. If you can't find me through that, you can just type in Chernobyl survivor.
Chernobyl survivor, yes. Comedian.
And hopefully my dumb face will come up.
I feel that's a little bit rude and insensitive to Ukrainian people. But you know what? They're facing even greater shit in
life. They have a thick skin.
Yeah. No, but no. They have ultimate respect and sympathy. That's been your host comment today with my guest, the English-speaking Swedish comedian from Lithuania, Donatas Kveselis. Thank you for coming to the podcast. Thank you.
Thanks.